In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before you sit, come to the cross. We sang last night how the cross is the door to paradise. It is the cross that brings us into new life. It is the cross that restores us to our authentic identity. It is the cross through which sin and death, the dominion of sin and death, have been overcome. The first question I would like to ask is, how is it, based on what we are celebrating, based on what we have heard, based on our lives as Christians, how is it that we pass through this door which leads us into paradise? The cross. And what did we hear about the cross this morning from the Gospel according to St. Mark?
Take up your cross.
But what has to be done before we take up the cross? Have to repent, and we have to repent. And what is the language that St. Mark uses?
Lose your life.
You have to deny yourself, lose your life, says the Lord. The Greek, as I try to point out year after year, is even, I think, more pointed. One must disown the self in order to take up the cross. One must give up the life in order to have life. Is this easy?
No.
Our lives are, I would dare to say, but beginning with myself, often, perhaps most of the time, self-centered. Everything focuses on me. Everything else, everyone else, is in the margins, including God. To disown the self means that we give up ourself in order to belong to God. Unless we can disown the self, we cannot be joined to the living God. Unless we disown the self, we cannot become one with the living God, and therefore we cannot pass through the door into paradise, into the new creation, which is the church, the living body of Christ. The second question is, if we indeed accept this fundamental teaching of dying to the self, of disowning the self, in order to live, in order to embrace the new tree of life, which is the cross, in order to embrace the one who reigns from this new tree of life, the crucified Lord. If we believe this, then we have to ask ourselves, do we accept ourselves as being disciples of the Lord? How would you define discipleship?
A student.
A student. So therefore, one has to know who this Jesus is. One has to know what this new life, which we have been given, is all about. There is a very interesting rubric. I shared this the other night with some people. An interesting rubric in the Typikon of the Greek Church. It's the order of services, the prescription of the readings that are used in the Church of Constantinople, particularly the Greek Church of Hagia Sophia. This Typikon dates from the end of the 9th century, beginning of the 10th century, and falls out of use in Constantinople at the time of the Fourth Crusade, that is in 1204, but remains intact within the Church of Thessalonica until the fall of the Byzantine Empire. This is all historical, marginal information. In the Typikon, there is a rubric in which, on the second Sunday of Lent, that would be last week, an announcement made to catechumens that they are to come forth on the week of the cross to begin instruction for baptism. And in this rubric, there is a very special or interesting reference to the fact that there are those who think, those amongst the catechumens, but we can extend that, there are those amongst the faithful who think that they can enter into this new life made possible through the cross, made possible through Christ's death, burial, resurrection, without knowing the fundamentals of the faith. There are those who think that this is not important, that learning about the faith, that knowing the faith, and therefore properly living the faith, we don't have to stress how Christianity has fallen into superstition, how it has fallen into something that is antithetical to the gospel, antithetical to the word of the cross. This requires learning. This requires studying. This requires assimilation of all that we do, all that we celebrate, in order to grow ceaselessly into this inexhaustible mystery of new life made possible through the cross. As disciples, then we have to say that it is absolutely incomprehensible and therefore unacceptable to claim discipleship without knowing who this Jesus Christ is, without knowing what it means to lose one's life, to disown one's life in order to gain. Otherwise, this is all words, and if we can go beyond the words, it becomes a nice idea, which, for all intents and purposes, is not really practiced, is not really implemented in our lives. Indeed, brothers and sisters, again and again, I have to say, beginning with myself, that to be an authentic, true, faithful disciple of the Lord is extremely difficult. We are like the salmon going upstream. We are going against the current. Christianity has been like this from the very beginning, from precisely the time of the preaching of Christ and his ascent upon the cross. We are like the salmon going upstream, and yet the salmon are going upstream to do what? To die. We are going upstream to what? So as to live. So as to live. And this going against the curve, this disowning of the self, this dying to the self so that we might live in Christ, is the ascetical life. The cross reveals to us the glory and power of God. This is the third point to be made today. Glory and power are revealed how? Through weakness. Through weakness. I'll repeat the word. Through weakness. This is not an acceptable word in American vocabulary. This is not an acceptable term that God is weak. We are to be like this weak God, putting ourselves in a position of vulnerability. And that vulnerability comes precisely when we are in the process of giving up our life in order to gain true life, to gain our true identity, our true selves in relationship to the living God and to one another. The cross is the symbol for those who are not disciples, for weakness, a But for those who are being saved, as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, it is the power of God. Christ, the God-man, gives up his life for the life of the world and its salvation. He who sends the cross is in every way like us, we heard in this morning's epistle reading to the Hebrews. He is in every way like us. He has been tempted in every way like us. The only difference is that, what does the text say? Who remembers?
He was tempted in every way but didn't sin.
He is without sin, but let us not forget that the sinless one comes into the world to take upon all sin, my sin and your sin. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In fact, a more accurate, I would dare to say, a more accurate translation of the Greek text is, behold the Lamb of God who takes the sin of the world, who takes upon himself the sin of the world. He becomes, because he is crucified, he becomes a curse for us, so that we might receive that great blessing of new life in and through his death and resurrection. And the final point I want to make is that in Christ's weakness, in the weakness of the God-man, the power of God is revealed. The victory of God is revealed over sin and death. What does that say about our own weakness, our own sin, our own infidelities? Does this, certainly sin, infidelity, these are abnormalities, and yet, do these abnormalities, do these weaknesses, do these rebellions against God, which go on all the time within our lives, do these rebellions stop or hinder the power of God?
No.
St. Paul says, in my weakness, in my weakness. Note, this is not a license to sin. This is not a license to be weak, in the sense that I will give any excuse now and I can just maintain my abnormality. No. In my weakness, the power of God is revealed. In my weakness, the word of God continues here and now. In my fallenness, I am, if indeed I love the Lord my God with all heart, mind, and strength, and neighbor as myself, if this dynamic is in place, my weakness will lead me, will raise me to new and eternal life. But again, all of this is real if we truly desire to be disciples of Christ. I want to end with some wonderful words. I shared these words in the past by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a Lutheran, German Lutheran pastor and martyr. He speaks about cheap grace. We Orthodox Christians have to be very careful that we are not proponents of cheap grace, that we take Christianity for granted, or in taking Christianity for granted, we twist Christianity. We twist the gospel. Pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer says the following: cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. There are people called to repent, called to change the mind, called to change the direction of life from the self to God. Cheap grace is not the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. It is not baptism without the discipline of the church, without being immersed the life of the church. It is not communion without confession, without confessing these weaknesses. It is not absolution without personal confession, without an acknowledgement that we are weak, and yet nevertheless, this weakness does not prevent me from seeking to love the Lord my God. Cheap grace, and therefore this reduction of Christianity, cannot be without the cross, cannot be without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. So brothers and sisters, the cross is in our midst, and we are called to receive, to enter more deeply into the grace that ceaselessly, eternally pours forth from this new tree of life, so that indeed, personally and corporately as the church, we ascend even in our weakness.